It is such a great joy and an honor to be here with you this morning to share what God is doing in the nation of India. And thank you so much for sending Pastor Matt and Charity to us along with their family, four of their children. They had a great time just being at my home for 2 weeks. Then we had ministry traveling out, and we all enjoyed them really well. And it has been a joy to have them with us. And also, I know that you guys are just ready to send another team of 12 with Jason. They're coming in 2 weeks, and we are going to build a church in an area where the Hindus have burned down the church before several years ago. But even the very person who has done the burning, they are now actually a believer in the church. So they regret burning that down. Hallelujah. Amen. I have been lately telling the Hindu radical people, don't mess around with the Christianity, because you may end up seeing something happening that you don't want to see very often. You know, like Rameshwaram, you know, the place where we are building this facility, the radicals, they burned it down twice. And now the Lord is building a 200,000 square feet non-burnable facility. And amen. Solid concrete. And recently, one of the Hindu guy, I was in town, and he looked at me, do you know that we regret burning that facility long back? I told him, good for you. Don't touch the people of God. If you burn it down, God will build it up. So it has been a real testimony for them. So we thank God for Edgewater sending the team there to rebuild what was burned down. And we believe God is going to do some awesome things. And you are leaving a legacy behind for this church. And there will be ongoing worship and salvation. So many things will be going on even after the team is, you know, they leave within a week or so. And also, I'm so thankful to see my friend Jeff and Cheryl Testaments. I've been known them for a long time, and they're here with me today to hear, and really appreciate you to have you, you know, having coming over to the meeting. And God is moving such an awesome way in the nation of India, and we want you to be continuously prayer, you know, have a prayer about that, and be a part of the work that God is doing. And even though we have opposition here and there, you know, that's normal. And people are really willing to pay the price and see the kingdom of God has been established now much stronger than ever before. See, India used to have a very small percentage of Christianity. You know, India is known as Hindu religion, and in a prominent place with over 330 million gods. And Apostle Thomas, he came over there in AD 70, close to late 60s, and he was murdered in 72. But even from that very beginning, God is just beginning to, you know, the church is beginning to grow, and God is really beginning to do great things. Even the very place where he laid down his life, in Chennai, there is over 2 million Christian people in the same place where one person laid down their life. Hallelujah! Amen. Jesus very plainly said, there is no shortcut here. Unless a seed of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains. You can keep them the way it is. That is it. You know, like I wish to share with other people, you know, how people are sacrificially giving away. You know, one of the person that I know, I have mentioned this before, they sold their Barbie dolls, you know, to help us to buy this machine to mix the concrete. And I'm so thankful for that. I love Barbies. As long as you can sell them and get money out of them. Yeah, they're good for selling. You know, and she sold the thing and got them and bought this machine. And that one machine mixed the entire concrete for this whole building. Can you imagine hundreds of thousands of bags of concrete mixing one bag at a time and building this for 10 years? And if you'd have kept that Barbie doll, it would have been looking cute and all that stuff. You know, it will be in the shelf with all the lights on the top. And, you know, you look at them, they look at you. You look at each other and keep on looking. And that's it. But I'm so thankful somebody is willing to give up that thing. And it went a long way. There is so many stuff sitting around like that, you know, that you can get rid of. for the sake of the gospel. And the same way, people are willing to lay down their life. And because of that, God is doing some awesome things. India, like I said, you know, it was a very small percentage. But today, by the grace of God, is getting close to, you know, 10% of India now worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a lot. That's almost 100 million people in India. They're worshiping Jesus. Almost one third of US is in India praising God, who is formerly after other gods. They're walking in darkness, but the light of Jesus shined in such a powerful way, they changed their ways and accepted Christ into their life. We're going to go ahead and watch a few pictures that I brought from India. And as we are seeing the pictures, I'll be able to narrate those things. And afterwards, I'll come back and share more of the stories and testimonies. This is a team from Eagle River, Alaska. I have been going over there since 2001 and sharing the gospel and also giving the report. And Brother Mike and other team members, they came there to do the dental work. And we had a great time just ministering to the tribal people. Their mouth had been never looked by nobody for so many years. And but we were able to help them. And as you know, I have mentioned earlier in my previous trips, we are constantly ministering to the mentally ill people that are coming to Rameshwaram along with their family members. And they are actually just dumping these people on the beach side and so forth because they are they don't want to take care of them anymore. They are mentally ill. But we are bringing them into our compound and ministering to them and helping them. And it's truly showing the love of Christ to these people. And we are doing that every month. Once a month we do this. And this is a recent person that we were able to minister. And he is mentally ill also. And he had these rings placed on his hands probably about 25 some years ago. And never took it off. And his skin's and all gone. And what you see is his bone right there. He was in exclusively deep pain. And we were able to just to take those rings off and pray with him and clean him up and show the love of Christ. Not just talking, but living and expressing through our action. And this is actually the pilgrimage area because Rameshwaram, where I'm from, is the second most holy place. And a lot of Hindu people, they're coming in thousands every day down to this beach to wash away their sin. And you can see a holy cow here. You know, here you just say holy cow, but we have them there in India. And these are demon possessed, but they're good for hamburgers. But, you know, these people. So don't call holy cows over here. You know, they're not good. And these are some people, when they bring their children, they shave the hair of the babies to offer the hair as an incense to their God. And, you know, it's part of their rituals. These are people, they're just praying for themselves and people who died and whatnot, you know, through the priest. And they have made these small sand dunes with the yellow powder decorated and everything. And they're, you know, it's a custom-made God. And they're praying to them that God, you know, their sins will be forgiven and so forth. And the next picture you can see, these are some attack that happened in the northern part of India with the persecution. It's about 4 days away from our place. And there is some persecution went on. It came down some now. But here is a village leader. He professed that he believes in Christ. He is going to live for Christ. A radical guy. He pulled his 3-foot sword and chopped his leg off. And this is while he is in the hospital just to bandage up his leg. And you can see his one leg and the other leg. And as our brothers were able to help this guy, he said, "I'm going back to share about Jesus. I got one more leg left. You know, I'm not going to, you know, just to sit here and wait for, you know, things to happen, but I'm just going to go out there and share the good news." And here is another lady who she's been beaten brutally, and she is in coma because of the situation. And while she is in that state, her husband passed away. And that lady, she doesn't even know her husband is gone. But we were able to bury that person. And here is some other brothers who've been injured badly on their head, on their forehead. They have beaten with the rods and sticks, trying to open their brain. And thank God they're alive and they're surviving. And we were able to take care of all of their medical bills and help them with their situation. My brother Israel, he was able to take three teams over three different times to do the ministry among those places, helping with every, you know, the needs they have. This is the leftover from burning. You know, remember I was talking about burning. And this is how the Hindu people have damaged the pastor's clothing. These are all Bibles that you see here in the black ash. It's been burned and dusted, all Bibles and books. And that's his bicycle there. And this is a church one of the pastors is pastoring. And this is the elder's house right next to the church. And the radicals came middle of the night about 2 o'clock. And they set it on fire, guessing it is a Christian home. And the wife and the kids were able to run out. But the father, who is the elder, suffocated by the fire. And my brother, Israel, is holding his bone in his hand. Literally, that elder was burned alive for his faith. And these are not happening like 100 years ago. This is just months away, you know, from what has happened. And we have supplied a lot of tarps to this area because over 4,000 people, their houses are burned to the ground. And that's the only shelter they have. This is some of the pastors we were ministering. And these pastors have lost their homes, their church, and the believers. They all scattered, and he doesn't know where to start. We were also able to help among so many people, 18 widows. They became widow because of the pastor, because of their husband and because of their faith. She is holding a little bit of picture in her hand. That's her husband, the pastor who was pastoring the church, and the radical Hindus came and attacked and they cut his body into 4 pieces before her very eye. And the trauma that she is living every day, remembering her husband laying in 4 pieces before her church, is unbelievable. And but we were able to help 18 people like that who had really been injured and literally lost their life. And these are pastors that we were able to resupply the new bicycles and send them back into the field to do the ministry, and it is such a blessing for them. There are churches still there worshiping inside. You know, they have damaged the roof, but you can see them inside. They are still praying and praising. This amazed me so much. Even though the roof material is all broken and laying on the floor, the kids are sitting on the top of the broken pieces, broken rubbles, and they are just keep praying that they are not going to stop until the Lord provides them a new roof. And thank God we were able to get there in time to supply the new roof, and God heard their prayer through you. This is how God works. You know, it's a teamwork. You know, they cannot do this on their own. They need us and you. Together we can get the job done. So here they are having the new roof material. And this is the tribal people that we did the ministry. We sent leader Nehemiah and the team. These people, they use the beads to make their own dress, and they don't have any undergarments. And these are like tribal people up in the mountain area. They look like Africans, but they are Indian people. And when our brothers were over there, they called me up out of the blue, and I'm like, how is the ministry going there? And he said, yeah, it's going good. But remember you sent us to the tribes? I said, yeah. Well, these people are just naked people. I said, well, just to hold your breath and get it done, you know. And so they were able to really share the gospel. I said, they need Jesus too, just like you and me. So it was a challenge for them, but they were able to do the ministry. And these are the radical people, how they go out, wild out in the road, out on the side, and causing problems and troubles, fully demonized. These are not normal people. These are nothing but enemy, because he comes to kill and destroy and to finish off everything and to steal. And this is what's taking place. You can see the whole mob here. These pictures are taken in the, you know, the cell phone cameras secretly, and they're going with the sticks and the pipes and steel rods, village after village. If they believe in Christ, they destroy them. You know, you can see the church there just completely been damaged and laying there on the floor. And this is a sad situation. 42 children. This woman that you see there laying under the fire there, that's her head and neck and the body. She was looking after the 42 children. And the radicals, they want all 42 children to be burned and dead. But she worked tirelessly getting one child after another through the back door. And as she got all of them, the whole thing collapsed on her. And she was underneath of that. But thank God her commitment of saving 42 babies and 42 children in the midst of that, not loving her life. And here is people, how they are just going towards the jungle because there's no place to stay and to be safe. So they just kind of scattered out there. And God has really given us a burden to care for the unwanted babies, especially girl babies. They are killing them because of the dowry system. This is a baby laying on the side of the road, 10 o'clock in the night. I was coming into the compound near the railway track, a 7-day-old baby. The umbilical cord just fell off, and her belly button is still wet. And there I am, just picked up that little baby from the roadside. That's my beautiful wife, Shalini, I like her, and my two boys, Joseph and Samuel. And we just stopped our car and just picked up the new baby there. And that's my son, Joseph. And I told him, this is not your new Game Boy. You know, this is a little child here. And that's, she is in our care. And I'm thinking, you know, if I drop a quarter out of my pocket, I bend down, pick that up. We value that. Here is the living being, 7-day-old child, laying alone on the side of the road. There is cobra snakes out there and cows and dogs and everything. Thank God, you know, none of those things have touched her. And now she cannot, you know, even get by a mosquitoes. I mean, you know, she is totally in a safe place. Week after we got the baby from the road, another baby arrived from a village because they were trying to kill that baby. So we were able to rescue them. Just two tiny little babies. They are like a week apart, and they're going to be buddies growing together. And here is the whole group of 14 children. We brought 18 of them, 4 of them adopted out. So we got 14 children now growing in the compound, and they're just going to the school. And these are going to be a great missionaries in the days to come. These people, these children would not existed. You would have never seen this picture on the screen today if we have not reached out and received these children into our care. They would have been died and been under the ground long ago. Thank God the Lord has really saved their life because God has a purpose for them. And this is the whole Paulus family is growing. And myself, my wife and kids, and my brother and sisters. And Grace, you can see a little girl right there. She's 9-year-old. I was able to buy her for $70 when she was only a week old. And the midwife had her in her one hand, and she's boiling the water to pour it into her mouth to kill her. And my guy was able to jump into that place and snap that girl out of her hand. And now she is a smiling little girl, 9-year-old. That's our first girl that we saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And this is our dear brother and Pastor Matt and his family. And this is the picture I took at the railway station as they arrived in India. It was such a blessing to have them there. And that's one of the tribal villages that we were able to go and share the gospel. Many people have given their life to the Lord. The children were involved so much in singing songs and blessing. And there is Joseph and the children there. They're all buddies. They're having a great time together there. And there is Sister Charity with the little tribal little baby. she is definitely very dark. And and here is the whole people that we were able to give them saris and a lot of, you know, just rice and different things. they're just so blessed to have us there. And Pastor Matt also was able to baptize a number of people, and just their total dedication and commitment to the Lord. These are some tools that Edgewater helped in the past to take us back to India, to help building the facility. And thank you so much for helping us with that. It's been a great blessing. The roof of the training center is a 5-section. And this is the cement bag that mixes the concrete one bag at a time. Over 2,000 bags we use per one section. And that is one section right there, 35 tons of steel. You know, it's taken us more than 2 months to put the steel together. That's 4,000 trees standing there to hold up the scaffolding. When we pour each section, it's 400 ton of weight. So together it's a 2,000 ton above the roof. And these are all our brothers. You know, they are just working hard in vibrating, compacting. That's our conveyor belt right there. You know, concrete coming through the salad bowl, and just to pour them, you know, millions of bowls that we have poured. And that's how they just load up that, you know, just scooping off and then pass them around. You know, it's been a real tough and a hard job, but thank God it's coming to an end. And here is in the nighttime, we are working on that, trying to get that thing finished with our cold joint. That's my dad and myself. Just I have my breakfast, lunch, dinner all up there, except going to bed. And it's been a joy to see that complete. Some people working on the top of the, you know, the lift there, 90 feet above the ground. I don't think OSHA would be approving that. OSHA won't approve a lot of stuff we do, but we do the Indian way. And this is the whole compound there. The black strip you can see is the road that is going down to the tip of the island and to the temple. And that's our training center and the whole compound there. You know, we arrived here 30 years ago by this December with the 10 cents and God. And what you see here is only because of the faithfulness of Jesus. The road was hard, but he is faithful. And that's one pillar right there with the beams going through. It's kind of hard to burn this one down. There's about 1,000 pillars like that in the whole building, and holding up everything. And it will handle, you know, 300 miles an hour wind, hurricane, everything. Tsunami is going nowhere. And this is the curing that we do for 28 days, you know, before we dismantle everything. That's our driver, but he does everything. And those are the gloves that I was able to take. Brother Aaron been a great blessing, and his family. And we wear them out until they die and peel off. So it's been a real blessing. That's how it looks underneath of the roof after we dismantle everything. It's a solid concrete roof. And the whole frame is concrete. These are all handmade, everything by hand, in a solid beams and concrete. So it's going to be accommodating, you know, people to have training, pastoral training, evangelists, VBS, and all kinds of things happening there. And this is one of the conference we had, about 2,000 people there, just praying, worshiping. And this is young people committing their life to go out and preach the gospel. And these are new graduates. They graduated and went out to do the ministry. And God is already raising army of people. This is one of the school I'm in charge of. About 300 students are studying there. We provide the clothing, books, bags, and everything, because they are untouchable children. They are from the Dalit caste. And these are the children that are in the English school, about 350 there, and they're also helping with the society there. And that's our vacation Bible school. 2,500 children. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And these children just praying to the Lord for salvation. And this year we were able to give them all a hat with the scriptures printed on them. So they are carrying around on the whole island about Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Well, I just want to share with you, because what you've seen here with this children coming into the kingdom is so awesome.
30 years ago, when we arrived there, the first missionary who went to preach the gospel, they took him inside the temple, beheaded him. His blood was still on the altar. They said, no Christianity here. No, none. This is a Hindu holy place. But in the same place today, thousands of young children, they are rising up as a mighty man of God in the days to come. So God is moving in a powerful way. And every sacrifice, every sweat and blood that is being poured there is not going to be a waste. Amen? Yeah. Even I was studying about the history of U.S., you know, how the Civil War and the war with Britain and all kinds of things that went down. It's amazing how people have really paid the price to have the freedom that we have now, because somebody out there, they stepped out and they wanted to see the nation is being freed. So I believe India, with all these people, there are, you know, with so many castes and so many religions, they're under a bondage. They're under the bondage of demons and evil spirit, and they need to be set free. And that can only happen through prayer and sacrifice and through the working of the Holy Spirit. We are going to see great things God is going to do in an awesome way. And I would like to share with you this morning from Acts chapter 16. The title of my message is going to be, Praise Him in Your Pain. Praise Him in Your Pain. A lot of the things that we do in India, of course, it's by the grace of God, and also it is because of prayer. I don't know how the prayer works here, but we don't really like short prayers. We call those prayers microwave prayer. You know, you put some stuff in there, you pop a few numbers, and you wanted things to happen like that. You know, that's just a microwave prayer. But a good meal of steak or mashed potato or gravy, boy, you're getting taste of that now. Getting close to lunchtime. It takes time to prepare those things. And in India, we have a lot of different type of prayer. We have prayer with 21 days. We have prayer 40 days. We have prayer as a whole church. You know, 10, 15, 20 people fasting for 40 days, not eating anything. We have prayer all night long. They start praying in the night around 9 to 10 o'clock. Then they stop 5 in the morning, just to, you know, before the sun comes up. We have so many methods of prayer that we do because we are living in the midst of darkness, and we cannot do anything unless the Lord moves in a mighty way with the principalities and powers of darkness. Our war is not against the flesh and blood. It is against the evil darkness. And prayer is the key to have a breakthrough in that. So in chapter 16, verse 16, you could see, now it happened as we went to prayer. Amen? We could see later on a girl, she is actually a slave girl, and she was possessed by the demon, and she is a fortune-telling person, and by doing so, she is bringing money to her owner. But Paul was annoyed by her, and he cast the demon out of this girl. And because he did that good thing for that girl, the owner was not happy, and he ended up causing problem where Paul and Silas were beaten up. So now, why they are being beaten? Because they did something good. When did they do something good? When they prayed. Amen? So it happened when they were on the way to prayer. Oftentimes, when we start praying, of course we see breakthrough. At the same time, devil hates prayer. He cannot put up with the praying person or praying people. Prayer is the communication and a relationship that we spend with the God in chatting and talking and, you know, just being one with Him, devil hates it. And he wants to stir up something to cause problems. And here we could see, verse 22. Then the multitude rose up to gather against them, and the magistrate tore up their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with the rods. For what? Casting the demons out. Amen? Jesus, when he did a lot of good things, he raised the Lazarus from dead. Isn't that a good thing? Absolutely. But after he did that, there were Pharisees and other people, religious people, they were trying to kill Jesus. You can see that in the gospel. Then not only that, trying to kill Jesus, they were trying to kill Lazarus. And I'm like, come on, guys. What is your problem? He was dead already. And Jesus raised him up. You want to kill him? Who was dead before and now they wanted him to be dead again? They just can't handle and stand the goodness of God. It's just a different mindset. And here we could see, because the good thing they did, they were beaten up. Verse 23, then they had laid many strips on them. They threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. It was a very hard situation. This Paul here and Silas, they have been beaten so brutally, their body is broken, they're bleeding, and is so aching, their body is in pain. Sometime in our life, we go on with our life and we do so many things, but sometimes we face all kinds of obstacles in our life. All kinds of, you know, unfortunate situations. And there is so many struggles and pain and agony that we may go through in our life. Sometimes the enemy wants to put us inner prison, into the inner area, inner side of our hearts, inner side of our mind. He wants to probably torture us through, you know, in our physically, in our emotionally, in our life with financially, our relationally. In many different ways, the enemy might want to just bombard us with all kinds of, you know, hard situation and circumstances. Because we are praying people, we are doing something good for the kingdom, the enemy wants to do something to us, so we will be just tied up and be paralyzed, be stuck there, with our legs been in the stock. And here we can see, but in the midst of this, oftentimes people have a hard time praying and praising in the midst of the struggle and hardship and pain. But God is looking for his children to pray and praise in the midst of their hard situations. Amen. The world does differently. They talk about it all the time. They say, do you hear this? Did you hear this? Do you know what has happened here? What has happened there? All they're doing is trying to pass fear among everybody. There is no hope. There is no faith. There is no confidence because they don't have Christ. But God wants his people to speak things positively. In the midst of hardship, you could have talked about hardship, honestly, but God wanted us to pray and praise him in the midst of that situation. Amen? By talking about the real situation going on with the pain and hardship and other stuff, there may not be much remedy there. But when you start praying and praising in the midst of that situation, God will hear you and you will beginning to see a breakthrough. That's what we need. Amen? Here we could see in that following word, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Amen? You can pray anytime, especially when things get really worse. You don't really care whether it is morning or afternoon or evening. You just want a breakthrough. You just want to get out of that situation. You just got so tired of the things that is going on. You just need a breakthrough and move on. For that, time is no limit. So here these people, they are just stuck there sitting. They couldn't move. The hands are chained. The door is closed. And they're just locked in here. In the midst of that situation, they didn't talk about, gossip about this, or they complained about this, or murmur about this, or anything like that. They were simply praying and praising God. Amen? It is not easy, but God can give us grace for that. And here we could see, at midnight, Paul and Silas, they were praying and praising and singing hymns to God. The prisoners were listening. That means they were not doing it quietly. Their voice were heard by the prisoners that are there already. They were listening to this thing. And they're thinking, these are different people. We would have been bragging about our pain, our situation, our unfortunate situation, our circumstances, this and that. But these people are different. They're praying and praising. Devil love to keep us talk about the problems. Because he knows if we can concentrating on problems all the time, that we will be deviated from the real focus which we should be focusing on. Enemy loves that. And here we could see, when they are praying and praising, our loving Heavenly Father, he sees his children that are being persecuted for his name, for his kingdom, for setting that girl free. And here they are going through this suffering. And he cannot withhold himself looking at them. He cannot withhold himself hearing the song coming out of their mouth, prayer that is coming out of their mouth. He has to do something about it. Amen? Do you want to see a breakthrough and an open door in your life? It's time to pray and praise right in the middle of your hard situation. Amen? There is no other goal. But this is a key here because we can see it happened. And verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone chained were loosed. Amen? Wow! What a breakthrough! See, at least you and me, by reading this, we know what happened by prayer and praise. But these people, Paul and Silas, when they were praying and praising, they didn't know the earthquake is going to come. They didn't know the chain is going to fall off. They didn't know the door is going to be open. But they did it anyway. Amen? Here is these people. They're just praying and praising right in the midst of their hard times. And God heard that and he acted suddenly. You're going to see some breakthrough in an unexpected way as you keep on praying and praising in the midst of your situation. And here we could see when that suddenly came, it shook the whole foundation. Maybe there are problems in your life or in your family. They have come from way past, from the generational curse, or generationally it been passed on, certain issues. That God wants to shake that foundation there and uproot those problems away from your life and give you peace and joy from now on. And here we could see, not only that, the doors were open. It was closed so hard before. They don't see any way out of there. They were stuck sitting inside. Now the door is wide open. Not only that, in order for them to get out, their hands need to be loosed. So there is all the chain, they fell off itself. Nobody untied it. Nobody opened the door. That's the way of God. That is the supernatural work of Jesus. But we have to totally trust him and believe him and yield ourselves completely with no reservation. If you do so, then Jesus says, well, they are just leaving it up to me, so I'm in charge. And he will take charge over the situation. And here we could see that the chain were loosed and the door were open. As we can see following that, the jailer, he comes over there and talking to them. And he said, how do I get saved? And he, you know, he tell them about believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You and your household will be saved. And verse 33 and 34 in closing. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their strips. And immediately, and he and all his family were baptized. The very man who was against him before, the very man who probably beaten him too, the very same person is now washing all the wounds that was made by him in the body of Paul and Silas. The very people that you may be having a hard time, there will come a time if you trust and believe, God will change things around. They can be your prayer people, your blessing, and your friends. It's just a matter of praying and believing God. And we can see here, verse 34. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. When does the rejoicing came over to their family? When they believed God with all their hearts. Only Christ can give them the long-lasting joy and happiness. Rest of everything this world offers is only short-lived, temporarily joy, not eternal. And here we can see that they were able to give food and to rejoice together. And not only that, we see the household salvation. Amen? That's what we are believing for. We don't want one of the family members from our family, from our relations, to go to hell at all. Here and there, you know, seeing people getting saved is great and wonderful. But I believe the time is coming. As you pray, as you seek the Lord is going to do something so amazing. It's going to be a household salvation. We are seeing that on and on and on, you know, in India in a phenomenal way. Just as I was sharing before, you know, there was a meeting that we were doing in one of the area. And there was a lady who brought by the people to be prayed for because she has demons. And as she came there, you know, she was just spitting out and speaking vulgar words. And, you know, it is so hard to handle this girl, this lady. And they actually literally carried her by in their hands. But as they laid there, we prayed over her. And she was getting better, but the demon has not completely left. And this man, he has tried so many ways to see his wife be healed. You know, the husband of this lady. He has offered goats, offered chicken, shaved his head several times. I mean, done so many things trying to, you know, bring healing to this person. But nothing seems to happen. So finally, he heard about this meeting, said, well, this is it. God is going to save my wife. You know, if nothing, then I'm going to finish with this. So he brought this lady. She was in the front. We prayed. But, you know, she was okay, but not fully healed. They carried her back to her village. And we saw this, and it was very touching. And we prayed that night until 2 o'clock in the morning. We said, Lord, we don't want people to come here by carried and going back carrying back. We want people to be healed and walking back. So we prayed, and what has happened? This guy, he was so frustrated. He said, I tried everything with the Hindu gods. Nothing worked. Finally, I brought to Jesus where these people were sharing, and it didn't work either. So probably I just have to kill her. So he literally tied a robe in his home and planning in the morning 5 o'clock that he would get up and take her and put her on those robe and purposefully finish that lady off. And he went to bed thinking of this. And he already put the robe there. And the lady was there in her room. And we were praying, remember, 2 o'clock until morning. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, went to her room, hearing the prayer. And the bright light came. And she saw a hand just coming and stretching towards her. And she got up. And immediately, the Lord Jesus healed her completely. She became normal. Hallelujah! Amen! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And not only that, after she had that visitation, she made coffee And she went out and woke her husband up and said, would you like to have a cup of coffee? And this guy, he got up and he's like, did she see the robe out there? He could not believe what is taking place there. Next day, she and her husband was walking down on this, you know, to this meeting place. I was there just looking at them. And she sat along with other people, just a glowing on her face. And she is smiling and clapping her hands, singing a song, thank you, Jesus, for saving my life. And we were singing that song there, and we didn't realize she really means it. You know, literally the Lord saved her life from death. And it was then we asked her to come to the friend and share her testimony. But it was such a joy to see how God is touching. And because of that, from so many people from that village came to the church, and the church is overflowing because of that one incident. God is moving. That is the power of prayer. Amen? Amen. So I just want to challenge you today. Hang in there, trust the Lord, and God is going to do great things right in the midst of your hard times. Don't just dwell in that situation and be buried by it, but start praising Him, start thanking Him, start just acting in a positive way, and God will do great things, giving you the breakthrough and moving you forward in Jesus' name. Keep us in your prayers. Amen.
For us to pray for Him, we've been... Amen. Listening about the power of prayer, so I think it's the best thing we do is pray for him. So would you stand up and grab the hand of whoever is beside you, and we're just going to, as a church, agree together in praying for our brother Billy. Father, how impacting it is to see individuals that are your kids suffering. I, Lord, need to repent that I don't pray enough for the church that's being persecuted. I forget when things are so easy for myself. And so I ask, Lord, that I would be one that commits this day to upholding the church in India that is even this day undergoing persecution. I pray that we would be a body that reaches across 12,000 miles through prayer in protecting pastors in Orissa, in seeing your work expanded in Rameshwaram and in Tamil Nadu. I pray that we would be a body that gets to, Lord, engage with you in that way, that has the privilege of partnering not only with you, but with the body corporately throughout the world and just praying. And so this moment, Lord, we take a second and we say, protect those pastors. Lord, rebuild the buildings, and may, Lord, you take those ashes and turn them into something beautiful, even as you've done at Body of Christ Ministries, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity that our kids have to go and rebuild a burnt down church, to make it this time out of materials that will last through the fire. We pray that that church would be founded upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ, that it would be a glowing light that gathers in this rich harvest there. So bless the work there. Bless Billy, Lord. I pray that you would protect him. Lord, I thank you for the great work that is happening. I thank you for the light that is shining out from Rameshwaram. I thank you for the 500 pastors that have come from that ministry. And I pray, Lord, for Billy as he oversees so much of that. Lord, I pray that he would be strengthened in his inner man. I pray that the talents and gifts that he brings, Lord, that you would multiply them like you did the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Lord. That they're just being expanded. Expanding of his abilities, an increasing of his ministry, a protection upon he and Shalini and Samuel and Joseph, Lord. And may your hand be protecting them, for Moses and for Israel and for Percy's and for the rest of the family, Lord, just be over that family and protect it and expand them and your ministry, Lord. We pray for the building, Lord. We thank you for the December 16th grand opening, Lord. What a testimony. 10 years of laboring. But now there is good fruit from it. So use that facility to build up pastors and leaders. Build up your body, Lord. Bless and use it, we pray. So we commit Body of Christ Ministries to you and to your care. And we expect you to do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think because you're a good God. And we get to serve you. So bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.